Is he coming back or did he just leave? We're waiting on him. You can tell yours. Yeah, that would. He might want to hear that though. Stand up. I'll introduce. This is Cecilia. This is his wife. And there you go. Now, can you imagine somebody like that being in India? You know, where they're very proper, and you know, she's just from down home. Amen. So here he comes, right there. He wanted a grand entrance, and so he has arrived. Yes. All right. How long have we supported you? I know it's been a number of years.
Oh, probably about. Going on 12 years, Pastor.
Okay, all right. We've been a part of the work in India, and I still remember when they came through, and it's been a joy to be able to support them, and so I'm glad they're here. I'm going to have him come show whatever he wants to show and then preach, and we'll go from there. All right, brother.
Okay, Pastor. Just before I start, I just want to thank you all. It's a blessing to see you, and we thank you for all your prayers and all your support for all these years. I guess I'm on, right? Well, I'll get that. Thank you very much, sweetie. And I just want to keep you, want you to keep this in mind, really, that what I'm going to show you here is you're part of this ministry. Amen? The Bible says we're co-laborers and says we're going to part alike. So the things that you see going on here, you're part of it. We're fortunate enough to be able to go, or as Pastor Sal says, maybe, whatever. But anyway. I remember I made an invitation to you when I first met you. It's still there. But anyways, I want to just also remind you that what I'm going to show you is pretty much what's going over a little over the last 4 years, okay? Because our first term was a little over five. This is a little over four, or a little less than five, actually. And I want to keep in mind that I'm able to preach at a different church every Sunday. I'm kind of like an evangelist there, which is a real blessing. So I get many, many opportunities to present the gospel to people who really never heard the gospel. And also that a lot of the churches that I go to, they're very, very, very unsound. And sometimes even pastors will get saved. I mean, it doesn't happen very often that they'll say it, but it has happened a couple of times that they've admitted it. So anyways, the other thing is we have a business there. It's called Crossroads. We have a business visa. We needed a business. All the businesses, it's not a profit thing at all. You know, there's many needs there. There's many poor people and sick people, whatever. And we've been praying for a long time when we got this business, how we can get things into the hands of people who need it. And we've been able to now work with, you'll see, tuberculosis patients and people in tent cities and stuff like that, be able to give them some things and also give us an opportunity to present the gospel. So, and I want to introduce you to my wife, Cecilia. Stand up, honey. I didn't do it. I did. And what I forgot to do was turn the power on before. Okay, just give me a chance. This should just take about... If you give me a... This is dramatic. I hope I'm not anyone's way. Just give me a second. Sometimes it takes this thing a second to wake up. Pray, Lord, come on now. Okay. Well, Lord likes to make you sweat it out a little bit. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Now, again, we're the Farnhams, your missionaries to India. That's my lovely wife, Cecilia, and myself. We are in Bangalore, India. Oh, this thing is not on. Okay, I have pointer problems. Okay, if you can see Bangalore, it's down on the left-hand side real close. The bottom. Thank you, sweetie. Right there. Bangalore is about 14 million people. This thing keeps going off. There's nothing. Does anyone have a pointer, perchance? Because kind of like to be able to show you some things. So this thing is just... Okay. All right. Start again. We're in Bangalore. We've got about 14 million people. India's got about 1.3 billion people. Most of them are on their way to hell. They're lost. Only about 1.5 or 2% are actually born again. You'll see how we teach it when I show you about teaching the pastors. This thing doesn't work. I don't mean to make this a comedy show for you, but right to the right of Bangalore, there's a, it's called Andhra Pradesh, that state there, and that's where I bring the pastors in from. And when you talk about the mission field, you're talking about people. And these are pictures of downtown Bangalore. We'll go do some shopping and get out about a couple times a month. I guess we'll go down here, and you'll see all sorts of things on the road, auto rickshaws. See behind there, you can see some oxen. And, of course, you see a lot of Muslims there, too. India's got a population of about 15% Muslims, second highest Muslim population next to Indonesia. But most of these people, you look at their faces, they're doing their thing, they're working, getting along, whatever, but they're most of them are alone and without hope and without God in this world. And they're believing a lie, they're trusting in the wrong thing. And I was brought up a Roman Catholic, and for many years I was trusting in the wrong thing. And you see a lot of youngsters in this presentation. Unfortunately, they're mostly growing up in homes where they're being taught a lie. You know, that's the Lord in the Bible calls the devil a liar. This man, crippled man, that is the condition of India as a nation. They're crippled spiritually. Of course, America's pretty bad, too. All over the world is bad. Many Catholic churches there, and, of course, they'll exalt Mary along with having a lot of Hindu idols in these Catholic churches as well. You know, they're called the Great Whore in the Book of Revelation. And they'll do whatever they can to get in and get favor and influence. So many Catholic churches there, many mosques. And, you know, they'll go in there and they pray five times a day to Mecca, and they come out the same way they went in. They're lost and on their way to hell. And they need Jesus Christ. And the Hindu temples, they have some very elaborate temples. And they believe in 300 million gods. And, of course, they got a lot of them up there. None of them love them enough to die for them. This one is called Ganesha. They have a festival depending on the new moon, usually the end of October or every November every year. They're a very festive people, the Hindus. They've got holidays two or three times a year. I mean, a month. Seems like almost every week, really. Just showing you different temples. Now, they believe in reincarnation. And one of the signs we got to see here, you look on the third line down, it says past life therapy. So... And I know you look at that thing and it's kind of comical, but the devil loves that. The devil loves religion. You know, they got these people trusting in something like this, so they're actually trying to take care of a life they never had. And it distracts from the question, what must I do to be saved? You might have remembered a few years back that due to some political religious persecution in Karnataka, where we live, I went and preached for about 9 or 10 months in this state of Andhra Pradesh, just showing you some of the sites. So this is ragi and wheat, and these people put it on the road so that the trucks and the cars can grind it up for them when they go by. And you see here, this outfit is called the sari. That's 9 yards of material. A lot of the women will wear this. Take you about a half hour to put it on and take it off. And you'll see a lot of sheep and a lot of goats on the roads as well. A lot of this area is rural. There are some city parts, obviously, in Andhra Pradesh, but these are some of the sites I saw on the way up there. And one of the churches I was able to preach at. And this particular church, I told you the men who come in for pastor's training come from Andhra Pradesh. This man's a pastor, and he's another pastor who came in, but I was able to go to many of the churches and preach of the men that I was fortunate enough to be able to train. A lot of rural land there, and a lot of the services we have are outdoors. They don't have a church building, and you know, it's the church necessarily. It's not the building, you know, for the service. We're talking about getting together around Jesus Christ and the Bible. Amen. Another group of people who I didn't mention, and you see right here, they're called nominal Christians. I'll write about it in the letters. They're people who think they were Christian. They think they were born into a Christian family. Now, when I give the invitation, after I preach, of course, people are usually sitting on the ground. I ask them to stand up, and I give the plan of salvation and the new birth and sin, death, and judgment, heaven, and hell. Consequently, I got people standing up with Bibles, song books, who have never before received Christ as their Savior, but now they've found a way to heaven. Christ said, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that's a story in a lot of these churches. You got a lot of people, they're religious, they think they're Christian, they're religious, but lost. Back in Bangalore, a lot of the churches that I go to are slum area churches. And some of them are house churches, some of them are outdoors. And you see the offerings of the men and the women, they come up separately. You see a lot of children at these churches. And what I want to show you now, I said most of the time, they're sitting on the floor, about 97-98% of the churches. I ask them to stand up and like to receive Christ as their Savior. So you're seeing some people now who are passing from death to life and darkness to light because they received a free gift. I just want to see some of these faces. This church here, most of the people here were blind. And what's that? They were blind at the church service. And on this particular day, 13 people stood up to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I got home from the service, and my wife always asked me, she says, how'd it go today? And anyone get saved? And I told her, and I said, a bunch of them were blind. And she said, you know the first thing they're going to see? It's going to be Jesus Christ. Their eyes are not going to be defiled from any of the filth of this life, which is a real blessing. A lot of women attend these services. Probably about 75-80% women attend the church services. And again, you just see different people who received a free gift. We go there by the power of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit bearing witness of the truth. It's a blessing to be able to bring the truth. Christ is sanctifying through thy truth, thy word is truth. This couple here, they're a nominal Christian couple. They thought, I guess, they weren't sure really if they were going to go to heaven or not, but they were religious but lost. When I gave the plan of salvation, they were so happy to find that there was a way to heaven. Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Just a blessing. This particular day, a whole bunch of women stood up and got saved. And I'm kind of spoiled. I'm like an evangelist. I mean, I am on Sundays, and usually their souls getting saved. Sometimes I'll go 2 or 3 weeks where no one will get saved. And I kind of start murmuring a little bit, and as the Lord says, well, just be patient. Either the pastor there is doing what he's supposed to be doing, and so I'll get my chance next week. And actually, it's a good thing if they're saved. You know, I mean, I don't want to say anyone go to hell. It's a blessing. But that's the condition there. So many churches really are unsound. Young man, here's a brother and sister receiving Christ as their Savior, and now they're brothers and sisters in Christ. I got a chance to preach to some widows one day during the week, and here 7 of them receive Christ as their Savior. Now, the pastor's training, you provide for these pastors to be brought in from that state of Andhra Pradesh to Bangalore, and we put them up in a Christian compound. They come in Sunday night. Our training is Monday through Thursday, 9 to 5, and Friday about 9 to 2, so they can get back to their homes, their villages. And the main theme of this training is rightly dividing the word of truth. And we'll start them off going over discipleship, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and work up into a little more deeper stuff. They really think the new birth is a deep doctrine because about 80-90% of them think the water in John chapter 3 is water baptism. So we go over so much scripture. We probably go over 800 to 1,000 verses of scripture a week. And then also the doctrine of spiritual circumcision, that once you're saved, you're always saved. And your soul is cut loose from your flesh by the Holy Spirit and covered by the Holy Spirit. The devil can never get it. So it's real good because they always tie in, you know this, small religions, they always tie in works, either to get saved or to stay saved. So Christ said, the truth shall make you free. And that's why I ask you to always pray for these men to study, to learn, teach, preach, and witness. But and it's always been on my heart that the people in their churches can see a man who believes that book and has a burden for souls. And it'll teach him some Bible. So we give them, from this Crossroads business, we give them some book bags. They can carry their Bibles and their tracts. And give them a couple of books there in the Telugu language. What Sayeth the Scriptures and Millions Disappear by Dr. Ruckman. Load them up with tracts every time they come. Give them what they need. And give them some Bibles. I ask them to give it to somebody in the church who doesn't have a Bible or someone in the community. Give them Bibles in like four or five different languages. And of course, they get the certificates. I'll give them the Bible then. And they've worked hard. We have some fun, but it's a lot of learning. But I try to tell them that their main learning is going to come by studying. So I ask you to continue to pray for these men to study. Now, I'm also, because of this persecution I was telling you a while back, I shifted a lot of the soul winning efforts to making house visits. And we work with a couple who are really burdened for their own people. And I work with this man, Williams, who I'll show you in a bit. But he's able to get us into homes we'd never be able to get into if it wasn't for him. And, I'm not going to be able to go up and knock on doors and get in there like that. So this man here, Mr. Anthony and his wife, they got saved, and they were so happy. And I wish I had a picture of when they got saved. This man, Christopher, as well, received Jesus Christ as his Savior. His wife and his two daughters, and both of those attend either my wife's group and my group, both of them, they were saved, and it kind of helped prepare him. And he got saved about 10 days before we returned to the States in July. This man here, Jacob, got saved after a Sunday service. Man here, Lancey, he helped us find the place where we moved to, and he ended up receiving Christ as his Savior. Another couple. This man here was attending the Sunday night service, and I did a lot on soul winning. I think he only went one time. He wasn't confident to present the gospel to his wife and daughter, asked me to come over, and by the grace of God, they got saved. And this couple here got saved. This man's a pretty sick man on kidney dialysis. Another couple, Hindu family, who received Christ as their Savior. This man as well. Name is Arogyaraj. That means health. And now he's got good spiritual health because he's born again. He's holding the track up that he was able to read and understand. This is another couple. By the grace of God, able to witness to them, they got saved. This woman here, her name is Ratnama. She's a street sweeper. In India, the streets are so dusty, and every morning starting at about 6 o'clock, the gals out there every day sweeping. They're low caste. The house that we moved out of, we were there for 2 years, and my wife and I were friendly with this woman, Ratnama, and my wife particularly, and we got to visit her home. And my wife gave a testimony, and after about 15, 20 minutes, I was able to give the gospel. She and five of her family members got saved. So a real blessing. And this woman here goes by the name of Pillow. It's probably Phyllis. We met her in 2007 on Easter. And she was probably already saved. We went over the gospel with her anyways, the new birth, and just settled it with her. But she wanted me to baptize her, so we brought her up into the bathtub, and she went down for believer's baptism. It was a blessing. And now from some of those soul winning that you saw before, those home visits, it gave opportunities for me to do also Bible studies, home Bible studies, just with like four or five people. So that's a real blessing. And they really enjoy it. This man here, Mr. Anthony, I showed you a while back, he has no legs from his knees down. Got artificial legs there, probably from diabetes or something, but he's got a real lot of joy for Jesus Christ. It's a real blessing. I was really sorry to see us go. He only got saved a few months. I think it might have been April. We returned in July, so hungry for the Word of God. And again, that's his son there. And that's my wife. She does a Bible study on marriage and preparation for marriage and helping gals make the right decisions, what to look for, and a husband, and also how to be a good wife. And it's a real blessing because even those women who are married and come, that they can really learn a lot of things from what the Bible says. Amen? So that's the thing. When we're able to teach, we're able to teach what God says. So that's the thing. You know, the Bible says, the Bible says. So praise the Lord for that. This is interesting. This girl here, her name is Sarah. She had an affair. And so she was kind of ostracized from her family. And this is her mommy right there. Anyways, through these groups, my wife's group and my Sunday night group, it allowed the family to come back together around the Bible. And that's that man I showed you, Christopher, a while back. He's the father in there, and he got saved. So it was a real blessing. And this is, again, some of the people at Sunday night, so, you know, some of the same faces there. Of course, what I'm teaching is a little bit different, you know, going over the Word of God again and some discipleship stuff, a lot on soul winning. And I challenged you. We did about 4 or 5 weeks on soul winning. Because ultimately, Indians need to lead Indians to Christ. Amen? That's the goal. We want to teach them what to do. But anyways, I put it on them 1 week and challenged them. This gal came back. She led 2 people to the Lord. My wife led someone to Christ. And 2 other men led someone to Jesus Christ. So that's a real blessing. Real encouragement. There's one of the men who got saved at the Sunday night service. A whole bunch of people. My flash on my camera wasn't working, but the Sunday night service has been real fruitful. Real blessing. And some fellowship after the Bible study on Sunday night. Now, here are some, this is about out in the villages, the poor villages. And a year ago Christmas, you were able to provide for the gifts that were given out to the families out there. And it was a real blessing, a real encouragement to them. Gave toys to the kids and clothes to the adults. Now, this church here, this is a poor church in the village. We call it the Widow Church. There's 18 widows there. And again, this is Christmas time. They're getting their gifts. But also, you've been, for over the last year and a half or 2 years, been helping feed them every month. And been a real blessing. There's some of the men at the church. Again, they got some lepers there and people with different kind of ailments. Some more of the widows at that church. Also, there's another church that the pictures didn't come out, but we call it the Water Church. And that's a church in the village. There's no running water. So you provided tankers of water to come there every week so they can bathe and they can drink. So that's a blessing. That woman, Pillow, who I showed you before, got baptized. I kind of went a little quick. She's a widow, and you're also helping take care of her, feed her every month. We provided this wheelchair for a woman back in Bangalore City. Helps her get around, helps her get to church. And this church, this school here, my wife and I started getting involved here about 2001, 2002, helping them get some, feed them lunch. And, of course, you were providing that. That school, has grown from like 15 kids, I guess, to about 50. So, but anyways, you're feeding them lunch every day. And this here is a Christian orphanage close to where we lived before we moved. And you see that boy there, he's carrying what's called a bed sheet. They're like thin towels. And we were able to provide, there's about 15 kids there, provide that for them there. And you see one of the girls there. And let me tell you, these children are brought in, they're temple kids, temple children. Those little girls are temple prostitutes. And there's a pastor here who goes in there and gets them out. And I guess the boys were like slaves there. He gets them out, takes them, brings them into Bangalore, helps them get medical treatment and nourishes them, helps them get some education and gets them in church. That's them right there. That's Pastor Samuel. But that's a real great work he's doing. I mean, he can only get so many, but he's got a real burden for his people. And here are the children putting on a Christmas skit. But these kids came a long way. Amen. And the wife there is putting a mask on me. We're at a tuberculosis hospital. And we're going in there to distribute some of those. Those are the things we get made up. Bed sheets, like thin blankets and towels. A lot of the hospitals don't necessarily provide towels or clean ones. So we're getting ready to go in to see these patients and pass these out and get a chance to pray with them. That's the man Williams and his wife Priscilla we work with. You'll be able to see him in the face in a couple of minutes. But sometimes people are just so sick, we ended up leaving these bed sheets, got their feet, or be able to hand them to them and pray with them, talk to them a little bit. And they really wonder why we would come there. And we tell them because of Jesus Christ. That's the only reason we're in India. And again, sometimes people just need someone to lean on, you know. These hospitals, they're really bare bones. I mean, their way of treatment is diet, food, and medications. But there's like no TVs or I don't think private rooms or anything like that. But it's one of the better tuberculosis hospitals in southern India. If they're sleeping there, we just leave them alone. Now, this is Williams, who I was telling you about, who we're able to work with. And that's his wife there, Priscilla. And these people, they love the Lord. They got a burden for souls, and they really care about their people. When I told him that my wife and I really wanted to get some of these get some products into the hands of people who really needed it, he just had tears in his eyes because he had always had the burden but never had a means. And now he had a means. So he helps us get into these hospitals. This here is called the Tent City. This is a nomadic people. They're a caste people. They go around, and what they do is they set up their tents, and they're going to build in the area, houses or buildings. They get paid a menial amount of money, and there's no running water in there. Then there's sickness in there. Of course, they're used to living like this, but anyways, it gets cold in there at night a few months of the year, so giving them these bed sheets and towels is a real help for them. And we have them go and stand in front of their abode, their hut, their tent, whatever, and so there's no double dipping, you know, people coming around, come and try to get something twice. But it's a blessing. And here, by the grace of God, we've been able to witness, my wife and I both, and my friend Williams will tell me if it's a safe place this particular day. They were able to present the gospel to a bunch of people, and three Hindus ended up receiving Christ as their Savior. That was a blessing. Yeah, that's right, sweetie. I mean, that's the love of Jesus Christ, you know. And there are the people who are always gracious enough to. I mean, they enjoy us being there. I know it's nice to get something, but it's all because of Him. It's all because of the Lord. And I still see many people, many kids, and I pray. I mean, you know, you see so many of these children are growing up, and they're believing in 300 million gods or Allah and all the lies. And I'm sure you'd pray with me and my wife and. Prayer will be that they can grow up in homes believing in the one true God, Jesus Christ, and Lord willing, receive a free gift of eternal life at a young age. Amen. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, sweetie. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for enduring with me in the beginning there. I kind of got off to a little bit of a rough start. Okay. Well, if you have a Bible, turn to John chapter 13, please. I'm not going out of this, am I? Here it goes down. Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay. Nice to be back at the church. Got a lot of people out here Wednesday night. Praise the Lord. That's a blessing. God, thank you, sweetie. Thank you, honey. All right, now John chapter 13, we'll look at one verse, and then we'll get into this. Verse number 12. It says, so after he had washed their feet, okay, and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know you what I have done to you? Okay, he's asking them a question after he cleaned them up. And, you know, you read the Bible in different spots here. And I'm sure in your prayer life, pay attention to it. Jesus asks questions. Amen? And that's a blessing. I mean, questions are good because questions taught you to think. You know, I mean, sometimes it's good to think. You can get in a real routine if you're just reading your Bible, getting up every day and just kind of, and it's, you know, and it's almost like religion in a way, just kind of routine and going through the motions, but your heart and mind not necessarily set on that. And sometimes, you know, a question just kind of jars you a little bit and say, oh, okay, what am I doing? So with that, let's pray. Father, we do thank you. God, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ, and thank you for the King James Bible, and thank you for a place to assemble now, Lord Jesus. And I just pray that you'd help me now in this preaching time, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would do something with my words, make them yours, please, and that you know what the needs are here from the folk who've come out tonight. Bless them, Lord God, for their faithfulness to come. And we pray you get all the honor and glory. And if anyone here is not saved or born again, that they wouldn't leave that way. They'd leave knowing there's a way to heaven and receive a free gift. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So people in your life will ask you different questions, just simple things. Where do you live? Where do you work? Where are you going? What are you doing? Do you like this? Do you like that? Usually you have answers for these questions. Now, let's see a few questions in here that Jesus Christ asks, and if we can, make an application to yourself. God gave us his book, amen? And we know it's divinely inspired, but you know when you pick up this book every time, the Lord's trying to talk to you and say something to you, amen? He's trying to show you something. And let's turn to Matthew chapter 26. See, I'm glad. I mean, I'm not saying I'm always, you know, I mean, I know I get to stand up here and preach. So I wish every time I opened this book and every single day I was as attentive as I need to be. I should be, you know. But I'm glad that I know that this book possesses answers and questions and help, and that there's a Holy Spirit of God to bear witness to the truth. And God's supplying that, amen? There's something divine about this. Nothing about this. But all about this. Of course, I got the Holy Spirit in me by the grace of God. In Matthew chapter 26, verse number 49. Okay. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, this is Judas, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. So there was Christ asking Judas, why did you come? And sometimes, he was saying, what's the purpose? What's the purpose of you coming? You know, sometimes if you think, and I know of it, the Lord will ask you and try to help you to think, why are you doing what you're doing? I mean, what is the purpose? And just to get you to think, amen? I'm not a robot, and I'm glad I'm not a robot. Why do you think what you think? Why do you say what you say? Why do you go where you go? Your habits. Why do you do it? Why did you come to church tonight? What was the reason you came here? I mean, you know, you can read the most, you feel obligated to come. You want to look spiritual. I'm not saying this is true. You want to be a blessing. You want to get something from God. But it's good to think about this stuff. But he said, friend, wherefore art thou come? Now, think about Judas, and of course, Jesus Christ. Judas was a traitor. But Christ asked him this anyways. He sold out Jesus Christ. You know that. And I'll tell you, sometimes the Lord asks you questions to get you to think. The thing he wants most now that you're saved, he's got your soul, but he wants your heart. Amen. He wants your love. He wants to get something, and God wants to get something out of the investment. That investment was pure blood to get your soul. But there's different ways to sell out Jesus Christ. You know, Judas sold out Christ, 30 pieces of silver. But there's ways you can sell out Christ. You sell out Christ. We'll get to it. But not getting in this book. See, this thing will adjust your mind. This could change you. I mean, there's power in this book. I need to get changed. There's a lot of things. There's stuff here. I still got these stinking rock and roll songs going through my mind. It's probably never going to take them off, but it helps put a balance on it, you know. I got a lot of filth in my head. I mean, you do too. It's rotten stuff. I need help. You know, another way you can sell out the Lord is keeping your mouth shut. Not witnessing. Just kind of continuing to walk by, and the devil gets in this thing he loves. He says, well, it doesn't matter. They probably don't care. Somebody else will talk to them. I'm busy. I got to get here. I mean, you're always busy, right? Just about. That's our society. I'm always busy. Got to make time for this and that. You know, you got to make an appointment to go to the bathroom sometimes. That's how it seems, you know. The company you keep. Be careful. And as far as your purpose, thinking, are you interested in getting what you want? Are you interested in getting what Jesus Christ wants you to get? And are you interested in bringing honor and glory to Him? That's the goal. The Bible says you bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Turn to John chapter 18. I'm just trying to stick with the time here, too. I don't want to be a transgressor and a hypocrite on top of that. Okay, now in John chapter 18. So the first thing the Lord will ask you about is what's the purpose of what you're doing? Now in John chapter 18, here's Christ before Pilate in verse 33. And it said, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Okay. Jesus was asking him, are you really sincere in what you say? I mean, do you really think I'm king of the Jews? Or are you just saying that because they're saying that? In other words, it came out of here, but what's here? So sometimes what the Lord's going to do, not just your purpose for things to ask, but we're going to ask about your sincerity. You know, who am I to you? You ever think of that? Who am I to you? You know, the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Get it out. It said, the Bible says, it's God who worketh in you both the will and to do his good pleasure. How much of that stuff is coming out? You know, I said it before, I quote you part of the word, it says, know you not that you're not your own. Do you sincerely believe that? You know, we sing the song, take my life and let it be. Do you know how serious that is? Turn to Matthew chapter 20. Another question in this point. Matthew chapter 20. In verse 6 says, "And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle?" Sometime the Lord will, what are you doing? Get busy. There's things to do. You know, you're going to have some hard times as a Christian, whether it be doing personal work, just in your own life, in your family, your finances. You got a lot of problems in this world now. I know things are getting pretty bad, I think, particularly around here. But you're going to get banged up, and you're going to fall down sometimes. You're going to make some mistakes, make some bad decisions based on different things. But when you fall down, get up. You know, if you're sincere, you'll get back up. We got a lot of Christians dropping out of the race. I was sincere when I said it's really a blessing to see so many here on Wednesday night. This is not the big service of the week, so it's a real blessing that you're here. But our greatest glory is not in never falling. The greatest glory is rising when you fall. And I'm not saying you have to go out and go to the bar, and I'm not talking about that. You know, when you've kind of laid back and you're not following the Lord the way you should. There's a missionary in Africa, and he was asked if he really liked what he was doing, and his response was shocking. He says, "No, my wife and I do not like dirt. We do not like crawling into vile huts through goat refuge. But as a man to do nothing for Christ, he does not like. God pity him if he will not. Liking or disliking has nothing to do with it." He says, "We have orders to go, so we go. The love of Christ constraineth us." See, we're doing it out of love for someone. Amen. We're here tonight. We were talking about the purpose before and sincerity. We're here because we love Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, I know you love Jesus Christ. I wish I could show him more. I wish I loved him more. You know, sometimes I feel shallow with that love. I mean, if you're honest, you probably say the same thing. Not enough. Not enough. There's not enough for him. There's murmuring. There's complaining. There's not fighting sin. There's not fighting my mind. It's not just do this, do that. But what goes on in here all day? What's there? Keep trying, man. I mean, seriously, you're never going to, we'll get it one day. But just keep trying. One day we're not going to have to try. We're just going to praise. Amen? We're just going to praise. Turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, it's kind of a big one. In verse number 40, Jesus Christ here, and he said, "And he cometh unto his disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter," he said, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? That's all the Lord's asking for. I mean, maybe more if you pray that way. That's all he was asking for. So could you not just pray with me for 1 hour? No, Pastor Saul, yeah, I pray he was preaching half my message before when you were talking. But how do you approach your prayer life? I will stand here right now in front of you saying, I have an extremely difficult time in prayer. It's not easy. It's a battle. Any of you guys ever have a struggle in prayer? It's a battle. Just You know, I mean, generally I make the time, but just in there trying to keep my mind focused on stuff like that, it's a battle. And sometimes it's not as real to me as it should be. Sometimes it's like we're talking about that religiously, it's just kind of routine, and I did it, and I hate it like that. I don't like it. I'm not satisfied with that. But the Lord says, let us boldly come to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I need all the help I can get. Do you? Here's a fisherman. He was out of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He'd been saved many years ago, and he had a bunch of unsaved friends. And they were out there at sea, and they were fishing. And his friends begged him to pray. And he said, I can't pray. He said he hadn't been to church in so long, and he hadn't prayed in so long. His friend insisted, and he finally cried. He said, oh, Lord, he said, I haven't asked you for anything in 15 years. He said, if you help me now and bring us safely to land, I promise I will not bother you for another 15 years. I hope he did bother him more than... You know, someone said, walk softly, speak tenderly, and pray fervently. Pray fervently. Prayer is you talking to God through Jesus Christ, and the Bible's Him talking to you. You know, Martin Luther said, I have so much to do today that I must set apart more time than usual to pray. So often, I'll think, I won't always do this, but I think, oh, God, I gotta pray a little less. I try to pray for about an hour or whatever, but the more you got to do, the more time you need to spend in prayer. Make the time. Make the time. It has to do with your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In verse 41, he says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, said, but that flesh is weak. Flesh is weak. He said, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? 1 hour. Turn to Mark chapter 4. Part of the thing, you know, we're supposed to be disciples, and that means that comes from the word discipline. Amen? And you got to get down. I mean, if you get in the habit of praying, try to pray for an hour or a day, that's discipline. I need it. Mark chapter 4, verse 40. Verse 40 and 41. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Okay, sometimes the Lord will ask you, what are you afraid of? Now, you know the way things are going right now. I mean, in this country and in the world. And with the economy, and we're looking, I don't know when it's going to happen, when the bottom's going to drop out. I mean, I think, am I going to get back to India, and what's this going to be like? I don't know. You don't know. But I know this. The Bible says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. And I know this. There's someone very interested in getting in your mind. And the Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. But he going to try to run you around and live in fear. Amen? And the thing about that is that one of the things I can say is that the devil, he can't get your soul. And maybe he can't stop you totally from witnessing, but he can start getting in there and it's going to start to affect the decisions that you make. And then the decisions you make, and then in some ways, it'll paralyze you for what you can do for Jesus Christ. And he's aware that there's going to be a judgment seat of Christ. He's aware he's going to get honor and glory out of that. And it's Jesus Christ. But he can keep you off balance, one foot in the fear bucket, another foot in the faith bucket. What's the Bible say? House divided cannot stand. I mean, you know, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What's it going to be? You know, I remember fear. All religion is born out of fear. I remember growing up in the Catholic Church, and if you do this, you don't do this, all that kind of stuff. It's the same thing over there in the Hindu faith, the Muslim faith. All fear-based, all fear-based. That's not our God. That's not our book. He said, I change not. You know, amen? He hasn't changed. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of making a fool out of yourself for Jesus Christ? Are you afraid of looking too fanatical? Don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of making a mistake. I've made several. Don't think also that I don't have some of these fears I got to fight. I got to fight everything that I'm preaching. That's why it's good we're talking about being in prayer and getting in this book. See, listen, the Lord will go with you. Amen? But you don't got to go alone. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You're gonna think you're doing something for the Lord that you want to do, and your heart's there and your mind's there, and the Lord's called you there and he shows you something. You don't have to go alone. You're not going alone. Don't let that devil make you think you are alone. That's why you want to stay in this book and stay on your knees. Amen? We got an authority. We got a Holy Spirit of God that'll bear witness to the truth. God has not given the spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. You know, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's a great verse. Of course, then you realize you're going through something. You think, I can't. I can do all things, even if you don't make it. You know, God, you know what pleases the Lord? Effort. Sometimes you get so calculating, you know, you say, well, if I do that, I'll look this way, this and this doesn't, whatever doesn't work, and you weigh all this thing out, and we miss the whole thing. Effort. God blesses faithfulness. Give it your best shot. If you end up flat on your face, get up. He'll help you up. He picked your soul out of hell. Amen? He's going to take it to heaven. Can he pick you up? He can. He said, my God shall supply all your need according to the riches of glory by Christ Jesus. He'll supply what you need, not what you want. We're getting to a point where, amen, we're going to probably get less of what we want. But he'll give you what you need. Sometimes we think you live in a world in your mind and you think you kind of like almost want to have God adjust himself to your need and your want. But that's not how it's supposed to go. We're supposed to adjust ourselves. You're supposed to adjust yourself to your God and what he shows you. But you got to find out what he's showing you. You know, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I need all the wisdom I can get. But if you get afraid, and if you get that, run towards Christ. We read that he's the master of the sea. You know, Jesus Christ controls circumstances. He does. I don't know. I hit on a few things so far. What is Jesus Christ asking you? He might have been saying things to you in your prayer and your Bible reading, different messages recently. What's he asking you? What's he want from you? You know, I tell you, I got saved because I was afraid to go to hell. I mean, I learned more after that. But he says here in Matthew 10, verse 20, he says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." You're here tonight, and if you've never, ever trusted only in the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ to save you from hell, if you're trusting in your goodness, your religion, you're probably not your religion, but if you're trusting in something else, so you've never really confessed with your mouth and believe in your heart, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, Christ said, "Unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." If you've never called upon the name of Jesus Christ, don't hesitate to do it. Amen?
Amen.
What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? I mean, there's not one person in this room who will stand up and say, or sit down and say, or talk and say, "I regret the day that I asked Jesus Christ to save my soul from hell." Any of you? Do you regret it? Bible says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Get that thing settled today if you don't have assurance in your heart for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. You got a God who came down and loves you enough to die for you and rose from the dead. That Hindu religion, the Muslim religion, none of that's real in that. It's all fairy tales and devils behind that. We got the one true God. Amen? All right. Pastor? Father, thank you for giving me a chance to preach truth out of your book. I pray you do something with your words, Lord God. We thank you so much for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Bible, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Stand just for a minute tonight. We're not going to sing, but just want you to dwell on that thought for a minute tonight. I think that's an incredibly important realization, is that the Lord has something for you tonight. He's got a question for you. And if you get in touch with the Spirit of God, you'll know what that question is. And if you have the courage and the love for the Lord you ought to have, you'll answer that question the right way. And a perfect example of that is, you know, here's a guy that packs up and he and his bride go halfway around the world and serve the Lord in a place where probably, as I said a while ago, and I'm just being honest, I don't know that anybody really wants to move to retire in India. But there you are, and, well, what does that accomplish? Well, it accomplishes 13 and 7 and 15 and 11 and 9 and 17 getting saved. That's what that accomplishes. And the truth of the matter is, probably the reason you and I are weak in those areas of our life where we serve Him or don't serve Him, I probably should say, is because we just haven't ever asked or allowed Him to ask that question. And tonight I just thought we'd dwell for just a minute. We're going to go home. But I hope you go home tonight with a question in your heart. A question that has to be answered. Not a question you've put there, but a question the Lord's put there. And what are you going to do about what you heard tonight? How's that? That's a great question. Not necessarily from the pulpit. What are you going to do about what God said in your heart while you heard what you heard from the pulpit? What are you going to do in response to that? And that probably will determine the success or failure you have for the Lord in the coming days. It's just simple answering the questions that He poses to us. I hope tonight before you leave, you'll stop by and shake hands with the Farnhams. Let them know that you're glad that they're here. And boy, I appreciate the fact that when he started out, he said, "This is what you've accomplished." I think sometimes the devil tries to distance us from the mission field. And, you know, they do what they do, and we do what we do. And I appreciate tonight him coming here and telling you, because I know you sacrifice. And I know in a day where economy is bad and some folks are working, struggling just to get by, I know that our mission support comes in and goes out just as regular as clockwork. And you've sacrificed. And I hope tonight you've seen something that made it worthwhile. in that these folks have been saved halfway around the world and in many other places. So I encourage you to keep on and realize God can take that little bit you've got left and do a great deal with it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are grateful tonight for mercy and grace. And Lord, we are grateful that we have the privilege of living in the land of abundance. Lord, I'm glad I live in America where we can send missionaries and not halfway around the world in a third world country begging for somebody to come. Lord, help us tonight to realize how blessed we are and how wonderful it is to live here. And yet, Lord, help us to be ashamed of how little we do to help those who do not have the opportunities that we have. We thank you for a building and a place to meet. We thank you, Lord, for musical instruments and padded pews. We thank you for all those things we take for granted. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to hold a Bible in our hands that we can read. Lord, we thank you for missionaries that can come in and encourage our hearts that the little bit that we've given has gone a long way and accomplished much. And Lord, I pray tonight you would again humble us to the reality that you have given us a very special place in this world, a place to live and enjoy. But Lord, with that has come great responsibility. And Lord, I pray tonight that you have asked some questions of us that we have been, Lord, in need of confronting perhaps for a long time, and that tonight perhaps there have been some answers given that needed to be given. I pray that some folks' hearts and lives would be changed tonight, and that, Lord, the service of the Lord Jesus Christ would be a greater pleasure in the days ahead as we recognize that there is no higher calling and no higher purpose for a Christian on the face of this earth than to serve our Savior and Master. Help us tonight. Bless us as we go our separate ways. And Lord, bring us together again at the next time, and may we come with good stories about what God's done as a result of us being willing to answer the questions. Dismiss us now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers will be at the back door, and everything that comes in will go to the Farnhams to be a help to them. Get them up and down the roads here in the United States, and then get them back overseas when they need to be there. You come by and talk with them, and maybe find out how God could use you in India. Amen. All right, has prayer cards back there. Make sure that you've got one if you don't, and spend time praying for them. All right, you're dismissed. Lord bless you.